You're listening to The Big Leap College Bound with Ellen Yale, Episode 3.
Welcome to The Big Leap, the podcast for college bound teens and their parents, where it's all about getting emotionally ready for college and creating your rich, messy, wonderful life. And now, here's your host, Master Coach Ellen Yale.
Hi, welcome back. In this episode, I'm going to teach you a tool that I learned from a great spiritual leader and thought leader, Byron Katie. This tool will free you from the majority of the mental pain you're in with your teen, and would free your teen from most of their pain with their friends and family too. As I'm creating these first episodes of my podcast for you, I'm picking the best stuff, some of the most powerful tools and ideas, so you can put them right to use. And this is one that's had such a big impact on me, I'm getting right to it. As parents of teenagers who are heading to college, you want them to do the right thing and have a great life. You want them to be safe and careful and hardworking and nice to people. You want them to do their best. You want them to love and be loved. This is your job as a parent. This is your responsibility. At least, that's what we think. And worrying about them is all out of our love for them. But frankly, you're not doing them any favors when you're in their business. When you're feeling worried about your teen, you're getting in their business. Let me break it down. There are three types of business: my business, your business, and God's business. When I'm talking about God's business, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about things that people can't control, like hurricanes or floods or when someone dies. It's the big, unanswerable questions of life. God's business basically is reality. Now, my business is anything I can control. That would be my thoughts, feelings, and actions. So that would include feeling love for other people, including your teen. You're in control of if you like people or if you don't like people. You're in control of your body, or of spanking your children when they're little, or not spanking them. And you're in control of what you think about other people and what you think about yourself. My business is the look of absolute love when my kid walks into the room. I can control what I say to other people. That's a good thing to control. So there's God's business and my business. Everything else is your business. Your business is the things other people think, the way they feel, the way they act, the things you can't control. And keep in mind, you can't control other people no matter how hard you try. And it would be really great if you could control other people. But I hate to be the one to say it, you just can't. That's what causes a lot of pain in parent-child relationships, when you think you should be able to control people and yet you can't control them. And let me be clear, because some of you may think you can control your teen or you are controlling your teen, but what you really are doing is influencing them or manipulating them. So if you want your kid to take challenging classes their senior year and they don't want to study anymore, they're done. It's a big case of senioritis. Well, you can probably manipulate them and the situation so that they're taking hard classes, but you still can't force them to take in information or read a book and consume it and remember it or write a report or fill in answers on a test. And you certainly can't make them want to do something they don't want to do. You can't control other people no matter how much you want to and how much you try. So if I stay out of other people's business and stay in my business, putting my effort into the things I can control, that is the number one thing that will boost my happiness. Think about all the times you feel friction with your teen or your spouse or your boss or anyone. I'll bet you were in their business. Maybe you want your kid to study more or care more about their schoolwork or pay attention driving or be a go-getter. That's being in your child's business. And that does nothing but cause you stress. Here's one thing that may surprise you. I hear this from concerned parents all the time. They tell me, "Ellen, I just want my child to be happy." But that's being in their child's business, because you can't control someone else's happiness. It might not be right for her to be happy right now. Maybe they're supposed to be sad right now. It's their business. Sometimes people are supposed to have bad feelings. I want my kids to have the full spectrum of feelings. I want them to have the wonderful, exciting, yummy feelings, but I also want them to feel sad and rejected and deprived, because it's the bad emotions that really help them grow. And that's one of the best feelings you can have, growing and evolving into the best possible version of yourself. And it's only with the bad feelings that you can feel how good the good feelings are. I had a situation the other day. My daughter was too tired to clean her room. In fact, most of the time her room is a lot messier than I'd like it to be. I can manipulate her into cleaning her room through threatening her or using a sharp tone or giving her a look, but I can't make her want to clean her room. But I so want to. I want to whip her into shape. I want her to have good habits so she doesn't dread cleaning up her room her whole life. It's for her own good, but the cause of all my irritation over her room is me. It's my thinking. She is fine with a messy room. It's me who's suffering because I think it should be cleaner. And I can hear some of you saying, "But Ellen, there's scientific proof that a filthy room can cause disease or illness." And that's probably true, but it's still what's in my head that's causing my anger. Once I let go of thinking she should keep her room cleaner, my stress stopped. Now, I still have house rules. That's not to say that I'm turning my head and saying, "Oh, the house can be as messy as they want, that way I don't have stress." But I enforce the house rules. There's consequences, but I choose not to feel stress about it. I choose not to think the thought that she should keep her room clean or that she should want to keep her room clean. And the interesting thing is, when I stop feeling angry and frustrated, she's much more likely to stop feeling my pressure and keep her room a little cleaner. So I get more of what I want when I take that emotional element away from it. When our kids are babies, it really seems like we should be in their business. It seems like their business is our business. And while we do have a lot of control over their environment when they're babies, even as newborns, we can't have their experience for them. We can't force feelings inside their body or thoughts inside their tiny little heads. We can influence them, but they are the ones who feel the fear and the happiness and all the thoughts and emotions of living their own life. I have two children, so I have all sorts of evidence that they come up with their own thoughts. My daughter was a very headstrong toddler. She decided when she was 4 that she would assign all the members of our family cartoon character names, and we had to call each other by those names or suffer her wrath. She was in my business even at the age of 4. In fact, much more so than she is now as a teenager. And my poor mother had trouble even keeping track of who she was supposed to be, let alone what she was calling everyone else. I think she was Minnie Mouse most of the time. My daughter definitely wanted to change all of us. We all want to change people. It's natural. We think we know best. We all think we can make things better. So many people come to me to help them change their kids. But that's not our purpose as parents or me as a life coach. And you literally cannot do it. Our job is to give them opportunities. Our job is to love them like crazy. Our job is to give them boundaries. Our business is to take care of our own thoughts, feelings, and actions. And that takes a lot of time and energy. If you take care of your own business well, you won't have time to be in everybody else's business. And my job as a life coach is to help them see what's right for them. It's to give them tools so they can create their own confidence and determine their own thoughts, feelings, and actions. I can decide what kind of parent I want to be and then set out to be that person. I can choose to love my crazy teenagers no matter what they do, because they're worthy just by being born. And because it feels so much better to love them than to be angry with them, or hurt by them, or frustrated by them, or be worried about them. I can even choose to like them, no matter how much they roll their eyes. That one used to really bother me. I was all in my kids' business because I thought they shouldn't roll their eyes at me. But them rolling their eyes is not about me. It's about them thinking something about me. And they're allowed to do that. They're allowed to have their own thoughts. No skin off my back. I just don't have to internalize it. If you think that your child should pick a certain college or major, you're in their business. When you're worried about them being in a flood, you're in their business. And anything you're worried about having to do with them going to college, in their business. Think about the types of worry that feels productive. Worry that they won't make friends. Worry that they might flunk out or fail in some way. Worry that they will get drunk and fall off a roof and die. These feel productive. Somehow it feels like if we worry hard enough, it will protect them from harm. And that's just not the case. You are not evil to think these thoughts. You're not even wrong to think these thoughts. But worry about your child is being out of your business and mentally living their life. It's not productive and it's not serving you. Worry is basically a useless emotion. You can prepare for a hurricane and be worried and freak out about it. Or you can prepare for a hurricane and take care of it without freaking out about it. To stay in your own business doesn't mean not to take action. Some people think that staying in their own business means to disconnect from the other person, and that's not it at all. Staying in your own business is to let go of the drama. If your child goes away to college, who's going to run their life? I will bet to some degree you will be mentally with them running their life. So if there are two of you away at college, who's here at home for you, living your life? If you're living your child's life, who's living yours? If you feel hurt or lonely or stress or discomfort, take a step back. You are probably mentally in someone else's business. If anyone has ever called you a control freak, you're spending a lot of time out of your business. I can understand why you want to be in your child's business. Your problems are dull and boring. Your kids' problems are ones that you can probably easily solve like a ninja. You've got that. It feels so good to have problems you can actually solve. Your own problems are tougher. I've got a friend who dives in and saves her daughter from epic failure. And my friend is mad because she doesn't think she should have to save her daughter from these situations. But she's trained her daughter that she'll swoop in and save her. I mean, that's their thing. That's their MO. The daughter heads toward failure. The mom swoops in. She's in her daughter's business and then wondering why her daughter hasn't learned how to take care of herself. Being in her daughter's business is not serving either of them. When things seem really frustrating, there are a couple of things you can ask yourself to put things in perspective. The first is, whose business am I in? This has become a shorthand between myself and my clients, because once they learn this concept, they can tell me their most recent frustrating, painful experience, and I'll simply ask them, whose business are you in? And they just say, I'm not in my business. It's a reality check for, I can't control them. I might want to, but I can't. So I can continue beating my head against the wall, or turn my focus on what's in my life, in my control. Once they're at college, your child's roommate may ask everyone else on the hall to go to dinner with them and not ask your child. And that's not your child's business. Your child gets to like or not like the roommate, but they can't make their roommate like them or include them. It's also not your business that your child is hurting about an experience they're having at school. It doesn't mean you can't be a compassionate witness and listen, but to jump in the pool with them and take on their pain is being in their business. Something really interesting to try is to stop every 5 minutes and see where you're trying to run the world. Stop every 5 minutes and ask yourself, whose business am I in? And I think you'll be surprised how much of your brain and your mental energy is tied up in things you can't control. Well, that's it for now, my friends. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Big Leap Podcast. We'd love it if you would go over to iTunes and leave a review. For any questions, comments, or coaching issues you'd like to hear on the show, please visit www.ellenyale.com.